Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Thursday, November 16th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in the foreword to the first edition on page XIII. The third, we're going to read two paragraphs, the third and the fourth paragraph, beginning with, when writing or speaking publicly, and ending with, we shall be greatly handicapped. We're going to read and comment on both those paragraphs this morning. Today's readers are Kara L., who will be reading the text, Sherry Z., who will be reading page 164, and Susan G. is our backup reader today. Our newcomer greeter is Sherry M., and announcements today will be Leslie M. The reference ID number for yesterday, Wednesday, November 15th, 2023, is 20,839 or 20839. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,841 or 20841. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Sandy T. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Sandy T., here are the steps we adapted for Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people, wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of this step, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Sandy T. I'll now ask Jan F. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hello to all. This is Jan F. from California, and the 12 traditions, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for the group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Jan S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to re-mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, we ask that everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page XIII, the forward to the first edition. We're going to be reading two paragraphs this morning, the third and the fourth full paragraph, beginning with, when writing or speaking publicly, and ending with, we shall be greatly handicapped. Again, we're going to be reading and commenting on both of these paragraphs this morning. And I will now ask Kara L. to begin reading.
Good morning, Stephanie. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm in Long Beach, California. When writing or speaking publicly about alcoholism, we urge each of our fellowship to omit his personal name, designing himself instead as a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. Very earnestly, we ask the press also to observe this request, for otherwise we shall be greatly handicapped. Good morning. My name is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm in Southern California. I've often heard this anonymity. You know, what does it mean? And there's two sides of this I look at. And this one we're looking at publicly, right? So publicly, you know, I'm a member of Overeaters Anonymous publicly, and that's it. But privately, you know, people know I'm in Overeaters Anonymous because I want to be able to be approached if they need help, right? And I give you my name, and you can find my name on the member list because we're in a meeting, you know, so that I can be of service. But how am I going to, it says we're going to be greatly handicapped. Well, you know, I think we've touched on this a little bit in the days preceding this about, well, A, it feeds my ego, and, oh, can I tell you, I do not need anything feeding my ego. There's already too much that feeds my ego. and I work with my higher power to be of service. So how can I be of service? Well, if my ego is huge, I think I know what's going on and I have all the answers. So, and that's not recovery today for me. Today recovery is to ask my higher power for the answers, to be, you know, in a place I can best serve, right? And then also too is being inundated with requests, which we read about in this book in several different places, you know, being so overwhelmed that I can't be of service, trying to do so much that I'm not helpful to anyone. So today, what do? I say, you know, higher power, give me intuitive thought, inspiration, and decision. I take each day as my higher power gives it to me. I wake up and I make conscious contact with my higher power, however that looks. And then I just say, how can I best serve in this day? And whatever that looks like, that's how the day is going to be. And I'm really grateful for that today. And with that, I pass. Thank you. I'm looking forward to hearing from everyone.
Well, thank you so much, Kara L. from California. So we are now going to open the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday on any of our vision meetings, please allow others the opportunity to share today. We also ask that you please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you with the timer when your time is up. Please, when you hear the timer, finish your sentence, not your thought, so we can give others a chance to share too. So I'm now going to get a lineup. Please give your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from. Who would like to share?
Wendy M.
Gotcha, Wendy. Do we have anyone else? Quiet this morning.
Susan G.
I gotcha, Susan G.
Thank you, Steph.
Tiffany P.
I believe I heard Tiffany P.
Yes.
Great, thank you. Anyone else for this first lineup? Okay. We'll go with these three to get the juices flowing. And if you can please let us know where you're calling from. I've got Wendy M, followed by Susan G, followed by Tiffany P. Wendy, you're up.
Great. Good morning. And Stephanie, thank you for your service and everybody on the line. Yeah, Wendy M., Boulder, Colorado, recovered, sponsoring. Thank you, God. So it says here, you know, omit your name. Okay, I spent my life making sure you knew my name. I spent my life getting attention at all possible. I was in the front row of every classroom, starting with kindergarten, with my hand up. Notice me, I'm here, do you know my name? And so I love that I'm reading this because it says, we're gonna omit your name. The other thing I wanna share is, I remember when I dropped the weight probably 23 years ago, and I literally was shopping in a store, talking to everybody and anyone who would listen. And I was showing them my before and after pictures. And I had no idea this was a spiritual program at all. And I say that and I smile because that's who I was. I knew you wanted what I had and I had it. You know, Wendy M. had it. So this says, no, we're actually going to omit our names. And I get it now. I get what's going on. It ain't about me, it's just about the message. The only thing I have for a newcomer is, or somebody struggling, is the message. And when it's not about me and we're omitting my name, what a relief. You know, it's a lot of pressure when it's about us. And then, by the way, the attention, it's probably not going to be enough. In fact, I know it's not going to be enough, right? It's just like the food. Attention for me is like the food, how the food was. more and more and more, and it ain't going to fill up that God-sized hole. So I get it now. Thank you, God. That's a recovered thought to understand that, of course, it ain't about my name at all. And what a relief that it's not about me. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Next up, we have Susan G., followed by Tiffany P.
Thank you, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone. Susan G. calling in from Los Angeles in Southern California. Thank you, Cara, for getting us started. I'm very protective of my anonymity, especially at work. But if I see a place or where somebody needs help and they start talking to me about it, I will, want a better word, expose myself to try and give them hope. Sometimes that's gone well. Sometimes people will avoid me down the hallway. I have a very good friend now who knows about it. We don't discuss it anymore. And not to sound like a historian, but Roseanne and seven, there was a total of seven women who went on to a TV show. Their faces, I believe, were blurred out. And that was what really, really helped Overeaters Anonymous get started, from Roseanne's living room into their first meeting rooms and offices, in the same way that Jack Alexander wrote an article, I think it was in the Evening Post, it was called, that really, really helped AA. And I have to remember that back then there was such a social stigma still about being an addict. And I don't, you know, there is a little bit with food, but I protect myself. The press aren't asking to speak to me. And if they did, I would know how to keep my anonymity. And then there are those who have a platform on the press, and they get to choose whether or not they say how they have recovered. And perhaps that helps one other person. So I am a proud member of Overeaters Anonymous, and if I can ever tell anybody else, God always directs me the person to speak to, and hopefully, you know, I plant the seed like somebody once did for me. So thank you, Stephanie, and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Susan G. from California. Next, we have Tiffany P.
Hi, this is Tiffany P., and I'm listening as from New Jersey on the OA website. And so thank you for all the people who do service on this meeting, and for the first speaker who shared. It reminded me of a couple years ago, my sponsor sent me an article about some celebrity who had since passed but was a member of a 12-step program and had been very public about being a member. And in the article, his wife was talking about how when he started to go into relapse, it was that much more difficult to talk about being in relapse because he had been so vocal about being in recovery and a member of this program. And, you know, that's just a reminder to me, the reading from today, your shares, that article is a reminder to me about, again, my ego loves to be, you know, front and center, and that's what my disease is based in, my ego. And so that's why I keep my name private. Not because I'm ashamed of being in a 12-step program. Of course, I share when, you know, the opportunity presents itself because I want to carry the message. But when I start, you know, putting my name front and center, then I start replacing my name with that of my higher power. And then I start to think that it's me who is keeping myself recovered, that it's me who keeps myself abstinent on a day-to-day basis, you know, that it's me that is able to manage my life. You know, and the steps, step one reminds me, I'm powerless over food. I can't even manage my life, right? It has to be my higher power. And so, you know, this anonymity is a reminder to me of, you know, not just protection of the fellowship, which is extremely important, but also protection against myself in the way my ego, you know, wants me to claim that I'm responsible for my recovery and for managing my life. You know, I came into this program basically on my knees, right? The food had won, and my life was a mess. And today, you know, it's that's not the case. But today, if I forget that it is my higher power doing that, and not me, then I'm in real trouble. So I just really appreciated hearing the shares and the reading as a reminder, you know, that this is my higher power and that's who and what I need to turn to consistently throughout the day and carry the message at the same time to keep what I have. So that's what I wanted to share. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Tiffany P. from New Jersey. And if you're just joining us, we are in the foreword to the first edition. We read two paragraphs this morning, the third and the fourth paragraph, beginning with, when writing or speaking publicly, ending with, we shall be greatly handicapped. And if you haven't shared in the last couple days, please share today. Who would like to share? Let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Ann A.
I've got Ann A.
Vicky T.
I've got Vicky T. Do we have anyone else who'd like to share on this paragraph? Okay, well, we'll go with Ann A, followed by Vicky T, and please let us know where you're calling from. And you're up, Ann.
Hi, thank you so much. My name is Ann A, and I'm in New York. Anonymity. Boy, I'm so grateful. Anonymity lets me be, strips me away from who I am, who I'm related to, you know, where I'm from, what I've done. It just is the name that one of God's women right now. You know, Bill suffered till the end of his life with either Mr. AA or Bill W and Bill W. And we're grateful. I'm grateful that he knew, that the co-founders knew we had to be anonymous if we are to really fulfill our mission on life, God's mission on life, if we choose to take God's mission. And I choose it because I have recovered from a hopeless state. And I'm just so grateful that I can be, that I can embody these spiritual principles, and that I can live them as much as I can, live them anonymously. And that when my doctors asked me, how did you do it, Anne? I now can add, I'm a grateful member of Overeaters Anonymous. I just say I'm in AA. No, I'm standing tall now. I'm living a life beyond my wildest dreams. And I live that 11-step prayer. Just make me an instrument. It doesn't say announce who you are. No, just be an instrument. And it is in giving that we receive, giving anonymously, promote this beautiful way of life. Not promote it. I'm sorry. Be an attraction. And that's all I have got to share. And thank you so much for everyone who gives service. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Ann A. from New York. Next, we have Vicky T. And please let us know where you're calling from.
Thank you, Stephanie. Yes, my name is Vicky T. and I'm recovered in Florida. And I really like this reading because I do not think that relapse is part of recovery, but it is part of my story. And I'll tell you, it's really humbling. And hopefully it will have been my last, but after the last relapse, my ego, it has more to go, but it's really gotten chunked away. And there's much more humility in my life. And I'll tell you, I'm a lot calmer. I have a lot less adrenaline. And in steps, which is really just another way of saying anxiety and excitement, because I would always be so focused on, you know, I instead of God, God, God. And it came through a new spiritual practice that has really been teaching me humility. And I spend, you know, about a half hour with God in the morning, and I do a two-way prayer. And I have written up my own prayers based on some key main prayers from the program in topics that I need healing on. And then I do a meditation. And since doing that, I just feel calmer. And when I'm calmer, I'm much more humble. And when somebody calls me and they're struggling, it used to be about, well, let me tell you what to do. This is the way to go. Now my first question is, what's your prayer and meditation life like? Which is completely different, because it was all about me trying to get attention. And like it was said, like, you know, I could never get enough. It was like the food, they just, you know, if somebody was in a bad mood or in a good mood, it was because of me, that I was that important in somebody's life. And I remember I had a sponsor once, and she said, yeah, I didn't think the program was going to work. And she said, so do you think you're that special that it works for everyone else, but it's not going to work for you? And that was just a really humbling statement and experience. So I know that humility is the spiritual principle of anonymity. And I heard that on an earlier meeting this morning, and that's what made me want to share on it. So thank you for listening.
Oh, thank you so much, Vicky T. from Florida. And we can take some more names. Please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Joan
Cheryl
Marie.
S.
I think I heard Joan Marie first.
Cheryl S.
And then Cheryl S. And who else would like to share?
Lee F.
O-H.
Lee F, I think. Was that F or S, Lee?
F is in Frank.
F is in Frank. And then I've got Mo H. Do you have anyone else who wants to get in on this lineup?
Vanessa G.
All right, Vanessa G. All right, I've got Joan Marie, Cheryl S., Lee F., Mo H., Vanessa G. Please let us know where you're calling from, and we'll start with Joan Marie, followed by Cheryl S.
Good morning, Joan Marie M. from Nevada, recovered by the grace of God. And, you know, these words stood out like urge and earnestly, and greatly, all these words stand out in my heart. And it's a program that it's attraction, we don't promote, and it's very important for me to not publicly out like radio, press, or things like that, say anything, because the fact that if I would ever fail, then it would really put a dark spot on Overeaters Anonymous. I don't intend to fail because I continue to do what I did in the first place to recover. And I'm grateful. I just love the program. I think that what I've heard too with Cher is it's staying humble before my God, who's my higher power. Staying humble when I share. Staying humble when I walk this walk and with others, and to be honest and open-minded and willingness. They are the essentials. I'm so grateful for this program, for all the shares. This morning I listened to the early one, which is 4 o'clock for me in the morning, so a lot of times I fall asleep. But I got to hear one person say, 50 years she's been abstinent, 50 20 years recovered. Is that not hope? Oh, my God. Thank you for letting me share. God bless everyone.
No, thank you so much, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Next up, Cheryl S., followed by Lee F.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S. from Nevada as well, and gratefully recovered. I was just thinking about, you know, the anonymity. I was wondering where it came from, how they were inspired to think, you know, that they should be anonymous, and did it have to do with them being inundated with, you know, requests? That's certainly not the case for me. The people with compulsive overeating problems are not inundating me, you know, wanting to get on the wagon with me. But what the other thing I was thinking about is, you know, how did this anonymity, this thread of anonymity run through the steps? And I can see it running in every single step. And again, like it was shared before, it's about humility, anonymity. There's a component of anonymity is humility. And in step one, you know, admitting that I'm powerless, and my life is unmanageable, huge, huge, you know, humbling experience. And two, you know, admitting that, you know, there might be something out there that I need that's not me. And three, actually turning it over, letting go of my self-will, how, you know, humbling. And I was thinking about, you know, when I did my step three and it was really focused on me being the director and running the show. And, you know, you cannot be the director and be humble at the same time. You know, you cannot be anonymous and be the director at the same time. You got to get into the wings and let the show proceed without you. And what a gift that has been for me. Just that section alone has turned my entire life around. It turned my marriage around. It turned my relationship with my kids around. I no longer cause people to want to retaliate against me because I'm anonymous. You know, I'm anonymous in my family as well as in the public eye. You know, I'm not the one running the show. And I am so grateful for that humility and that anonymity. And I can go through 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and see the humility and the anonymous in that too. You know, it stops becoming about me. You know, when I do my 4-step, I think it's about me. And then I get to the part where it says, you know, what was my part and how did I harm those other people? And that becomes about the other people and no longer about me. And when I do my ideals in 6 and 7, that becomes about other people. How do I want to interact in their lives? You know, not how do I want them to interact with me? And 9, you know, making amends. It's not about getting an apology in return. It's about letting go of my ego and being humble. And that's all I have to share. Thanks. I pass.
Oh. Thank you so much, Cheryl F. from Nevada. Next up, Lee F., followed by Mo H.
Hi, this is Lee F. from New Mexico. Everything was so good, and I laughed because I remember coming in, I didn't know what humility meant, you know. I mean, I kind of likened it with humiliation, which I now know is not the same thing. I know I'm very drawn to it, you know, very drawn to people, and I even had a conversation, and I'll never forget it, you know, with my spouse. Oh, gosh, we've been married a few decades. And he actually said to me, he goes, you know, in a very loving, gentle way, like, it's not all about you. And that was shocking, utterly shocking to hear that. I was like, what? You know, are you kidding? And I remember, you know, at the time I was upset and everything, but it really started to sink in. It's like, wow, it is not about me. And I love that part of this program and the whole anonymity piece. Like, it's such, it just levels the playing field. You know, I'm just another bozo on the bus. And it's very powerful in itself and wonderful. And so now, you know, in my recovery and my recovery journey, I kind of just strive for that, you know, that humility. And you know, and I've heard, like, when asked, I'm more than happy to share about my program. And if the opportunity comes up, and, you know, and I'm not ashamed of it, I will share that I'm an Overeaters Anonymous, but I don't have to print, like, business cards, you know, and be the representative Overeaters Anonymous. And, you know, I remember when I first came in, I was ready to shout it from the rooftops, like, oh my gosh, you guys, you know, and have curbed that, and have gone through phases where I don't want to tell anybody. And, you know, now it's just kind of a part of my fabric. I've been in OA longer than I have it now, like over half my life I've been in this program. And so it's just a part of me, you know, DNA, I think. And I'm grateful for that. That's the only thing I've told someone recently, like, the only thing I've ever done right in this program is not leave. And I'm, you know, so I'm grateful for that. And I just kind of love this message, because it's always good to be reminded, you know, and that, yeah, it's not all about me, and it rarely is even a little bit about me. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me come in and share.
Oh, thank you so much. Lee F. from New Mexico. Next, we've got Mo H., followed by Vanessa G.
Hey, thank you very much, Stephanie, for your service and all those giving service today. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. Well, there wasn't a lot of people jumping on the line, so that's why I jumped on the line. But one of the things that came up for me as people were sharing is my brother and I, from a very young age, were dancers. And we were out there, you know, we were on TV and we were on different shows and we won awards and et cetera. And, you know, very public, our names, you know, John, Maureen, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so I grew up in that, wanting to be known, wanting to be seen, wanting to be heard. And, you know, I marvel at Bill and his insight, and Bob and all the others who helped write this first edition. This says, you know, this is the foreword as it appeared in the first printing of the first edition, that he's talking to us about being anonymous, not putting our name to Alcoholics Anonymous, and, you know, being humble, as people have said. And then in the second paragraph where it says, "the otherwise we shall be greatly handicapped," I looked up handicapped, and it means a circumstance that makes progress or success difficult. So we were going to handicap ourselves if we started advertising. And so, you know, it was word of mouth. It was the article in the New York Times. All of those things, you know, really got it. But it was mainly word of mouth. But, you know, I'm not anonymous within the rooms. You know me and I know you. And, you know, when we share with each other on the phone lines, you know, we know each other. And I know I can call you if I'm having trouble, let's say, with a food issue, because I know you understand me. But, you know, tradition 12 talks about practicing genuine humility. And this is part of genuine humility, is not being out there. If someone asks me, you know, what am I doing, I will go a little bit further with them. I'll say, you know, how I eat, you know, I don't eat this and that. I abstain from these items because I'm allergic to them. Usually they don't ask me anymore, but then if they keep asking and keep asking, well, then I will, yes, say that I'm a member of Overeaters Anonymous, and if they'd like to go to a meeting with me or talk further, I'm available. So I think that's all I have to say. I think it's a wonderful tool, anonymity, and it really has helped our program survive. So with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Mo H. in California. Next up, we have Vanessa G.
Hi, everybody. This is Vanessa G., recovered in New Mexico. This morning, what I'm focusing on, I think, is the words fellowship and a member of Alcoholics Anonymous or a member of Overeaters Anonymous, designating ourselves as that. You know, last night I went to a meeting, and while I was in the meeting, I had one of those quote-unquote oneness experiences, spiritual experiences. I mean, I just, all separation drops, right? And I'm just, you know, one among many, just a part of. And this program is, for me, just a real place of belonging, a real place of being anonymous in the sense that I'm just one of many. I make up this whole, for lack of a better word, huge miracle that is recovery from compulsive overeating. And I'm not alone. And alone I couldn't do it. And with everyone around me and everybody connecting with me, and just the spirit of fellowship that we have with each other. You know, no one's any better than the other. We all are in this thing together, and we're connected. We're joined. We're so taken care of by each other. I'm just having a gratitude moment, guys, so bear with me. I love the fellowship. I love the fact that we're all in it together, and we're all recovering together, and we're making it, you know. We just really are making it. And I have broken my anonymity many times, you know, when I think, especially when I hear someone say, I'm dying. And I know that pain and that depth of despair. And I can't stand by, you know. Luckily for me, I think I'm actually starting to build a fellowship around that, you know, just finding some people, different ways to, you know, come stand beside me and join my hand, you know, join me hand in hand as we walk through this path. Anyway, thanks for being on the line this morning. I'm sorry I'm getting so dramatic, but, you know, I just am feeling it this morning. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Vanessa G. from New Mexico. And we have time for about two more shares. You could please let me know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Mary W.
Sandy G.
Mary Lee W. and Sandy G., I believe I heard.
T. T is in Tom.
All right. Oh, T is in Tom. Sorry about that. All right. Well, we will go with that. First will be Mary Lee W., followed by Sandy T. Let us know where you're calling from, please.
Hi, I'm Mary Lee W. I'm recovered in the state of Colorado. And, I've just been listening to everybody. As I've said before, I dropped my son off around this time, and I just dropped him off at school. And then I've been sitting in the car just sort of meditating on this and listening to everyone. And looking up the word anonymous, which there are some very interesting definitions out there. But really looking at this paragraph, you know, because we are too few at present to handle the overwhelming number of personal appeals which may result from this publication, the book. But what's really sticking out to me is the word we remain anonymous. So they're really talking about the first 100-ish people that started AA and how they really carried the message together. I know there were a lot of conflicts and schisms and all of that, but the traditions really were so beautifully started to come about even before the traditions were written. I mean, when I read the big book, I really find that each tradition is woven in the text of how they're asking us to live. As a group working together. So I think that's very interesting. And they're considering, like, this was around the time of the Depression, but they are considering that they are business or professional folk. and that they couldn't carry on our occupations in such an event. So I'm thinking about being a mom as well as an occupation, and I need to be careful. I have this huge desire in me to be helpful to others. So you asked me to do step 12. There can be a lot of fear there, but there can also be this place of like, oh yeah, I want to be helpful to others, or even being on meetings a lot. But it says I could not well carry. So I can't really well be present in the other areas of my life. And this is just for me, if I'm unbalanced within the rooms of OA, or I'm not only in OA, another fellowship. So it's really about then me asking God, because I can try to create balance in my life, but that's never worked. But me really tapping into the source, God, higher power, whatever that is for us, and not having to be the one-all, the be-all for everybody. That's a very dangerous place within the egoic world for me. And this part of, as we're going to read through here, like having to be the best, having to be the helper, having to be the one that's holding it all together. And when I'm doing that within the rooms, not only in occupation of work matters, but am I truly present? And I've had to look at this with my sons, with my other family members, and able to practice these principles in all of my affairs. So our work is an adaptation. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you so much, Mary Lee from Colorado. And Sandy, we only have a minute and a half.
That's
so
good.
If you could let us know.
Okay. Sandy T. from California. Last night I heard this sentence, and it's been rattling around in my brain ever since, that this is a program of the heart. Now, knowledge was my protection. It was my survival tool, and I carried it all the way used through my first years in OA. I became like a historian and a trivia maven and, you know, all of these things. So this is how you do it. So putting away my advice and my, ability to put myself out there and present myself, it's been a hard deterioration. But now, only what caring I can share from my HP to others through my heart is what really matters. And that's what I wanted to share. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Sandy T. from California. We'll now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Susan G., can you please read A Vision for You?
Susan G. or Sherry D.?
Oh, did I screw that up? I'm so sorry.
It's no problem, but I think I'm reading page 164. Sherry
Z.,
recovered in California. And also could go by Susan G. in another universe. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to God, to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.